Thank you, Sarah. And we close with our final set of news stories, kicking off with Greater Anglia's unclear future. Greater Anglia's core contract terms expired this week, which could potentially mean it becoming one of the first train operators nationalised by the new government. Due to the core contract ending, it means Transport Secretary Louise Hay has the power to terminate the operator's deal with 12 weeks' notice. However, she's not expected to make any changes until Labour nationalisation becomes law after passing through Parliament, which is expected later this year. But she said she would be wasting no time in bringing services back under public ownership. Labour has made no secret of its plans to renationalise the railways in the UK. And Ms Hay said, "For too long, our broken railways have failed passengers day in, day out, with delays and cancellations." An expert had previously said Labour was unlikely to see the nationalisation of Greater Anglia as a priority, as it is seen as one of the most successful rail providers. Speaking previously, transport writer and former Labour candidate Christian Wolmar said, "There are two changes to the law that are needed to privatising all the companies. As it stands, the government can only take over a company if it's seen to be failing, which Greater Anglia certainly is not. That law will be changed in due course, but I don't think those who are seen as reasonably successful will be a top target." Greater Anglia is now owned by Transport UK, a management buyout that took over the services when the Dutch-owned Abellio company pulled out of the UK after the COVID pandemic.
Council bosses are urging even more schools to check their ceilings after three were forced to make emergency closures this month. Norfolk County Council has confirmed it will be writing to Academy Trusts, asking them to carry out urgent safety checks on their ceilings. It comes after three of the region's schools made emergency closures after identifying issues in their classrooms, most recently Avenue Junior School in Norwich. The troubles at the city school, which affected five classrooms, was discovered after similar problems at Reefham Primary and Fakenham Junior sparked Norfolk County Council to order inspections at 27 of the schools it maintains. The problem affects schools where the ceilings contain plaster and lath, which can lose their structural integrity over time, particularly if they become wet. Inspections have so far taken place at around a quarter of the initial 27 schools, with Avenue being the only one that required immediate attention. Following initial risk assessments, the number of schools needing inspections has been reduced to 23, but a County Hall spokeswoman confirmed that the council is also writing to Academy Trusts, which maintain other school sites not under council control. She added the council has also notified the Department of Education over the issue. Plaster and lath is a construction method that was largely used before the mid-20th century, meaning it is prevalent in many of Norfolk's schools.
A bin man who inadvertently caused a huge response from the emergency services after he became covered in a mystery dust has said it was blown out of all proportion. Emergency services were called to a doctor's surgery in Aylsham after the man had an allergic reaction to a chemical while on his run in Sea Pauling on Friday morning, the 13th of September. The man, aged 27, was taken to the Aylsham Market surgery by his mother after having the reaction at 1 p.m. He said on the phone to his partner, "My lips are swollen, I itch all over, my eyes are streaming and I can't breathe. It's from something in the bin." After he went to the doctors to be assessed, staff there raised the alarm with the emergency services, triggering a major operation. Police, fire and ambulance crews were sent to the surgery, which was cordoned off, with people inside prevented from leaving. The emergency services stayed at the scene for several hours on Friday afternoon while the man's clothes were tested for signs of hazardous chemicals. However, nothing was found, and the crews eventually left the scene in the early evening. He said, "I just got covered in some dust. It's all been blown way out of proportion.
Norfolk and Suffolk's multi-million pound devolution plan fell through last week after the Labour government pulled the plug on lucrative deals for both counties. The deals would have put more power into the hands of local leaders, with both county councils each getting their own directly elected leader with greater control to build homes, infrastructure and create jobs. Norfolk's £600 million deal included an investment fund of £20 million a year for 30 years, whereas Suffolk's £480 million deal was worth £16 million a year. But the new Labour government has scrapped both deals, with the party not in favour of plans for directly elected county council leaders, preferring a mayoral model with a leader separate from the council. The collapse of the deals means hundreds of millions of pounds of future investment in the region has been lost, casting doubt on major projects.
Ask any teacher stepping into the classroom why they pursued that career, and they will all have their own unique reasons. But for Halima Khan, inspiration struck through sheer chance after a blast from the past appeared in her life at a garden centre. The 29-year-old, who teaches at Cringleford Primary School near Norwich, was on a different career trajectory when she bumped into her former primary school teacher. And while many visit garden centres to pick up pot plants, gnomes or even cream teas, Miss Khan came away with a whole new direction in life. At the time, she was working at Apple in the city and was a self-employed yoga instructor. But the meeting inspired her to take a PGCE. She said, "I decided to train to be a teacher when I bumped into a year two teacher from Munford Primary School at a garden centre in between COVID lockdowns. Not only did she recognise my face over 20 years later, but she remembered my name and took a genuine interest in what I was doing." She was supported in her studies by a £5,000 bursary from the Diocese of Norwich. The bursary is funded by the Anne French Memorial Trust and awarded to a UK minority ethnic student training to be a primary school teacher at the University of East Anglia. Miss Khan added, "This bursary took the financial stress off my shoulders and allowed me to completely focus on my learning and school placements."
A couple in a Porsche 911 have visited Cromer's lifeboat station as part of a tour of 238 lifeboat stations in 911 hours. Belinda and James Richardson from London are driving around the UK and Ireland covering 8,500 miles to raise money for the Royal National Lifeboat Institution, the RNLI. The couple started their journey in Morecambe on August the 23rd and visited Cromer Lifeboat Station on September the 13th. Cromer RNLI, shore crew and visits team volunteer Jane Bruskas said, "It was great to meet Belinda and James. This is a fantastic fundraiser for the charity. We wish them all the best on the rest of their journey and thank them as their fundraising helps us save lives at sea." RNLI Director of Fundraising Jane George said, "We are so grateful to Belinda and James for taking on this huge challenge and look forward to welcoming them at all of our lifeboat stations around the coast. We're honoured Belinda and James have decided to raise even more money to fund a new D-class inshore lifeboat. To donate, visit rnli-911challenge.co.uk.
And that's your lot, as the saying goes. We've arrived at the end of this edition of Chatterbox, and we hope you found something in it of interest to you. As usual, we remind you that when you've finished with the recording, turn the address label in the wallet over and pop in the memory stick and drop it in the postbox. Remember, you don't have to pay any postage at all, as the postal service is free. We know there are sometimes delays with the postal service and a delay in you receiving the recordings in a timely manner, but unfortunately, that's beyond our control.
Our thanks go to the whole team of over a dozen loyal volunteers who have produced today's edition. The editor was Ian Gorse and the sound recorders were Simon Pitt. If you would like to let us know anything about the items you have heard about today, what you have enjoyed or not, as the case may be, you can call us on 01603 765 365. That's 01603 765 365. The office is not staffed every day, so if there is no reply, please do leave a message on our answer phone and we will get back to you as soon as we can. You can also send us an email at contact@cbtn.org.uk. Don't forget to keep listening for this month's edition of Just Talk. And with that, we hope you've enjoyed this edition of Chatterbox. So from us, it's goodbye from me, Marianne.
And from me, John. Goodbye.
Goodbye.